Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. In 2020, Coalition Plus launched International Testing Week to encourage increased testing efforts for HIV, hepatitis, and STIs, as well as to promote awareness of the benefits of earlier testing and its linkage to care. Now, this year's International Testing Week is hosted in Malaysia by the Malaysian AIDS Council as one of the members, member organizations of Coalition Plus. And as we approach World AIDS Day on December 1st, the question we should be asking ourselves is how can increased testing efforts contribute to Malaysia's goal of eliminating the HIV/AIDS epidemic by 2030? Joining me now is Professor Dr. Mehdi Karkhouri, who is president of Coalition Plus, which is an international network of community-based organizations working to address the HIV epidemic on a global scale. Dr. Karkhouri, thank you so much for being with me on the show today. Can we begin our conversation with maybe the reason for hosting yearly international testing weeks? I mean, why is it important that we raise awareness about testing for HIV, for viral hepatitis, for STIs?
Thank you very much. It is, as you said, it is very important to raise awareness about testing, because testing is the key to other interventions. When you test for HIV, for instance, and your test is negative, that's okay. But you can benefit from a lot of prevention interventions, like pre-exposure prophylaxis, like if you're a pregnant woman, we can help you to have safe children. And if you are tested positive, then you can also get treatment. And if the sooner you start, if someone is HIV positive, the sooner the person starts treatment, the better is the outcome. So this is very, very important, because if you get tested, you know your serostatus regarding to HIV or hepatitis or any other disease, and then you can get treatment. And for instance, for HIV, we know that a person who is HIV positive, who takes the treatment, what we call the antiretroviral treatment, has the treatment is so effective, it doesn't remove the virus from the body, but it keeps it at very low level, so low that you don't even transmit HIV, so you're no more infectious. And that's very important. So this is why we want that everyone who's living with HIV to get into treatment.
Right. So the very first step would be to get tested. That is at the very beginning of the process. How has the landscape of testing evolved? I'm wondering what they can share with us if there have been notable changes that we have witnessed globally of this.
Absolutely. It has evolved dramatically. So now we have what we call the rapid tests, which is, you know, a test that you can use. It's just a finger prick at the tip of the finger with a very little amount of blood, and you get the result in 15 or 20 minutes. That's amazing. So you don't need anymore to go to a proper lab to do that. You can do testing everywhere. For us, organization offering HIV testing, we can go to places where people are instead of waiting that people come to us. So we're improving access to testing by using those rapid tests. There is now what we call the HIV self-test. You can have your own HIV rapid test that you can use it in the privacy of your home. You can use it, you know, with blood or even with saliva. So it is very easy now to get tested, and you have your results on the spot, and you know if you're HIV positive or HIV negative, and that's really amazing. It's really different from the test we knew like 20 or 30 years ago, when you have to go to the lab to have the blood drawn, then wait 3 or 4 days to get the the results. So now it's very easy to to get tested.
So much more efficient now. Is it affordable? I'm just wondering what are some of the hurdles that remain or that persist in ensuring that there is equitable access to testing?
Yes, well, the majority of the organizations within the Alliance of Coalition Plus, they offer HIV testing for free or for very little price. Just, you know, enough to keep running the facility. We're not making profit. And the majority also can, when it's possible, they also offer it for free. This can be an issue, but less and less encountered. What is now the real problem facing people is, for instance, stigma and discrimination. You know, everywhere in the world, it's not specific of a country. People living with HIV are faced with discrimination. People are afraid. You know, we kept in our mind that image of HIV that was right 40 years ago. It was a deadly disease. People were getting sick, but now with the treatment, people are doing all right. They have a normal life. They are no more sick, and even they don't even transmit HIV. So the scientific part has changed, but in our minds, we still have this outdated image. So people are afraid of HIV. People are afraid to get tested because they are afraid to face a positive result. So this is one of the main obstacles that we are facing worldwide. How to get people come to test without that fear, because how to get people realize that the benefits of getting tested are much more important than the harm. And actually, I can see no harm in getting tested. At the contrary.
Are there member organizations of the Coalition Plus Alliance that have been successful in effectively increasing testing rates, even in the face of the cultural stigma or discrimination? What have they done? What strategies have worked for them that maybe Malaysia might also be thinking about?
Yes, sure. One of the most efficacious ways to get people tested is the community-based testing. What is community-based testing? It's people coming from the community of the people who are most at risk, like peer educators, for instance. They get trained, even if they don't have a medical background or even if they don't have a healthcare background. As I mentioned, rapid tests are very easy to use, so you just can train people from the community, and those people from the community, they go to their peers in the community and they offer testing. Of course, if my friend and my peer is offering me testing, I am, you know, more at ease, I feel comfortable, I trust him or trust her, so I agree to get tested. So this has been very instrumental in increasing the rate of HIV testing. It has also been very important because it helped us increase the yield of testing. I mean, if you offer testing to the general population, if you go in the street in Kuala Lumpur, for instance, and you offer testing for everyone, you might have, you know, might have to do like 10,000 HIV tests to get one positive test. So there's a lot of waste of resources and time. But if you target the population that you want to test, if you go to those who are the most at risk, you don't need to deploy that much resources and that much time to find the person who are HIV positive. So even the yield of testing can increase with using this community testing, and this has been in place in a lot of places around the world, and it is also happening here in Malaysia, and we're happy that it is also deployed during the International Testing Week.
Right. So are there things that you would like to see to accelerate more capacity building of a community model testing?
Absolutely, absolutely. Community members have been instrumental in the response in HIV, not only for HIV testing. I just mentioned how they helped increase uptake and yield of HIV testing, but they also are very important, for instance, in adherence, in helping people get into treatment, in the support of people living with HIV. And that's very, very important. It's very important that we mobilize the community. It's not, you know, a care, HIV care, it's not the matter of doctors and hospitals. On the contrary, it's the matter of the whole community. And when the community is involved, the results are much, much more better. And it is important to mention that, especially that now we are facing a shrinkage of funding dedicated to HIV. So we don't have that much resources. So we have to use wisely the resources that we have. So by going through the community model, we can do that.
Dr. Mehdi Kakuri there from Coalition Plus. We're going to take a very quick break here on Consider This. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. We are discussing on the show the need to encourage more testing for HIV, for hepatitis, for STIs, as well as to promote awareness of the benefits of early testing and its linkage to care. This is part of this year's International Testing Week, which was launched here in Malaysia, hosted by the Malaysian AIDS Council, which is one of the member organizations of Coalition Plus. Now, this also comes ahead of World AIDS Day on December 1st, as we celebrate or commemorate how far we've come in the fight against the HIV/AIDS epidemic. Joining me now is Dr. Raja Iskandar Shah Raja Azwar Shah, who is president of the Malaysian AIDS Council. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate your time. So, Dr. Raja Iskandar, let's talk a little bit about where we're at in this fight against the epidemic. I think it's been, is it more than 40 years now that we've been fighting HIV/AIDS epidemic. So where are we? What is the current state of HIV prevalence here in Malaysia? Could you give us an overview, please?
Thanks, Melissa, for the introduction and really to set the scene. So where we are really with HIV at the moment in Malaysia is that, maybe just to give some background prevalence or statistics. So we have about 82,000 people living with HIV at the moment. So we're not considered a high burden country, but a sort of a medium burden country compared to other high burden countries, like, for example, Thailand. Currently, the majority of our new HIV cases are driven by sexual transmission, which is a vast change from what it was more than 10, 12 years ago, where it was predominantly driven by people who use drugs. But because of the successes of the harm reduction program, which involved introducing the needle and syringe exchange program and opioid substitution therapy, so that people could start on methadone instead of taking other more harmful opioids, it's essentially changed the trajectory of the HIV epidemic. And so much so that it mirrors a lot of the epidemics which are driven, are being driven around in the country. So largely driven by sexual transmission. So maybe just to break that down a bit more, we have about, in 2021, we had about 2,800 reported HIV infections. And that's probably similar from the number of infections that have been occurring on a yearly basis for the past 4 to 5 years. So we've sort of plateaued at about 3,000 new HIV infections. Unfortunately, and I just wanted to add this point, Majority of people still test very, very late with advanced HIV infection. And that's why it's important really to push this agenda forward, to get people to come forward to get tested for HIV. And so really, this is one of the many, many initiatives that Malaysian AIDS Council is doing. This one in particular in conjunction with our partner Coalition Plus.
Right. So in my conversation a bit earlier with the president of Coalition Plus, he talked a little bit about the stigma and discrimination that persists and remains as a barrier to when it comes to earlier testing. Is that still the case for Malaysia? And how do we encourage more proactive testing behaviors?
Yeah, so the data that we have in terms of testing, linkage to care, and getting people on treatment and suppressed, which was released by Ministry of Health and backed by UNH, shows that about 83% of people who are living with HIV are aware of their diagnosis. So that is reasonable, but we could, of course, do better. Where we don't do so well is when they are then subsequently referred to services and initiate antiretroviral treatment for the first time. Now, a lot of other countries within the region do much better in terms of testing rates, above 90%. And how we can certainly improve is initially to get services which are staffed by people who look like the people coming forward to get tested and speak the same language. So really to remove the judgment that may be associated, the language that is often maybe stigmatizing or discriminatory associated with testing. And, you know, as healthcare providers, we're not the best people in the sense we are, unfortunately, can be quite a judgmental society, and that extends to healthcare professionals. So as healthcare professionals, we can do better. So really getting people staffed who look and sound like the people coming forward to get tested is one. Secondly, more community-based testing, which basically involves communities at risk of HIV and people living with HIV, really allowing them to test people who are at risk for HIV. We have a strong community-based organization network, and I'm privileged to say that as president of Malaysian AIDS Council, and we are actively encouraging, together along with the support by Ministry of Health, to get communities to really take up that initiative. And so people are more likely to come forward to get tested. And more recently, there's been a push for more HIV self-testing, particularly with COVID. Everything is moving towards self-testing. So, and we have that platform now to be able to do that, where people can order a self-test kit and do it in the privacy of their own homes.
Did you notice an impact, the pandemic having an impact on testing behaviors? And did that lead to late diagnoses? Was that something that was concerned about? And have we kind of recovered from undiagnosed cases or late diagnoses due to pandemic-related disruptions in testing?
Yeah. So there has been data around the region, not just specific to Malaysia, but there is data to show that COVID impacted, you know, services across a wide range of clinical services. Infectious disease or HIV is just one, an example of one of the diseases which were impacted. But yes, and we have that data regionally, we have that data globally to support that. So people were not getting tested as frequently, which is understandable. They were not coming to care as often as they should have, even though there was a huge push towards services moving towards alternative platforms rather than inpatient consultations. And also it affected HIV treatment and care. But I just say this not because it's a reality point. People were already starting. People already get diagnosed fairly late in this country. And so COVID has probably, made that worse. But we are beginning to see, recovery of that. And I think with more push towards community-based testing and HIV self-testing, we will hopefully continue to see people come forward to get tested much earlier.
Can you share a little bit about how far we've come in this fight against the AIDS epidemic? I mean, talk to me a little bit about the innovations or the breakthroughs that have happened in HIV treatment that have significantly impacted the quality of life or outcomes for people living with HIV.
Right. Okay. So HIV research is very much alive, and we you know, it's one of the most researched infectious diseases globally, as well as locally. COVID, of course, changed that, but then HIV still remains one of the more important infectious diseases, which is researched. Now, in terms of innovations, we can divide that to globally, locally, and as well as HIV treatment and prevention, because we don't want to forget about prevention. There have been a lot of successes and strides in HIV prevention. So if we're starting from HIV treatment, now globally there's a move towards treating HIV with injectable treatment. And that's a very exciting field. It's following the area of contraception, which essentially is currently you can get an injection to treat HIV and come to the clinic once every 2 months. Now, that is not the case in Malaysia, but that will eventually be the norm across countries for people accessing HIV. And the reason for that is essentially people, even though we have made tremendous successes in HIV oral treatment with very, very minimal side effects, but the daily reminder of having to take a pill, you know, can impact on patients' ability to adhere to treatment. And so this is a good move, and certainly a move that we all, you know, celebrate, a move towards an alternative form to take HIV treatment. So that's a very exciting field. So I think we should watch this space and also that space in Malaysia. But where we also have better oral treatment and with a drug called dolutegravir, which has very, very minimal side effects. It's more forgivable if you forget to take treatment, because, you know, once with oral treatment, you have to take it every day. And, you know, and I think it's easier said than done. But I, for example, find it very difficult to take my certain cholesterol pills and high blood pressure pills on a daily basis. So, you know, it's a bit unfair to sometimes make judgment on people who struggle with daily oral treatment. But where the real exciting feel is innovation around HIV prevention, I feel. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion around this in the media initially, certainly with HIV pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is medication that people who are at risk of HIV can take to prevent HIV infection. And now it's available orally, and you can get it in public sector clinics, in private sector clinics. And some of the research work that we've been doing, both at Malaysian AIDS Council and University of Malaya, where I'm based at, is through pharmacy-based, where we're looking into trying to get PrEP through community pharmacists, along with HIV self-testing. We have an app called John PrEP, which is looking to try and, for people who find it difficult to access clinics, to access HIV testing and PrEP all through an app, so they don't ever have to see a doctor ever. So that's one way. So I think it's not just thinking about what is coming in the pipeline in terms of newer drugs and treatment, but also how we can access these drugs in a way that don't really involve, you know, conventional models of care. And I think this doesn't apply to HIV care. It should occur across a wide range of non-communicable diseases.
Right. Well, I also wanted to learn a little bit about how far we've come in the way Malaysia approaches the management, the health of people living with HIV, the people who have comorbidities, for instance. I read recently that the first person living with HIV in Malaysia has recently received a kidney transplant, and I think you were one of the doctors on the transplant team. So talk to me a little bit about how Malaysia has evolved in our approach of managing comorbidities among people living with HIV.
Yeah, so thank you. And I think a big thanks to actually the urology, my urology colleagues and the transplant team at University Malaya. We were very keen to get that out into the public to really, you know, destigmatize HIV. And so I'm glad that you brought that up, and I think it's very important for that message to come across. Now, people living with HIV on HIV treatment are now living normal lifespans. And treatment is so good, essentially, that really we should be concentrating more on just getting them on treatment, making sure their viral load is undetectable. But we really should be looking at the quality of life of people living with HIV. And unfortunately, people living with HIV have these low-grade inflammation, which continues despite the fact that they're on good antiretroviral treatment. And this gives rise to comorbidities such as kidney disease, increased prevalence of kidney disease, liver disease, heart disease, more so than the HIV negative population. And so, you know, I think it's, we need to really be able to look at this and manage it appropriately. And that includes hypertension and diabetes. We can't just say we get people on treatment and that's what we should be aiming for. And so I come back to this case. Now, this case was particularly interesting because this patient went from one doctor to another doctor to another doctor. He was very well informed about his HIV, but he was fed up of getting renal replacement therapy in the form of dialysis. And what he wanted was a renal transplant. And his wife was a potential donor at the time. And so, but it was largely driven by him. You know, this man felt that he deserved, and he did deserve, access to healthcare like anybody else. And it was through a number of consultations with a number of different doctors that he finally met the right surgeon and met the right team, and a very successful result was had. But yes, there's an important, we are moving towards greater attention towards comorbidities. It is an important problem within people living with HIV, and it's something that we are beginning to address very important and paying a lot of attention to at the moment. Yeah.
That was Dr. Raja Iskandar Shah, Raja Azwar Shah from the Malaysian AIDS Council, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.